All right, I'm going to begin. Kick us off. And everyone is joining our last practice call of the year. Hello, Rosita.
Oh.
Good to see you. I know. The good news is for joining us next year, there's just one but few weeks away. But other than that, you're gonna have to get through the last 2 weeks of the year on your own. Those are mine. I'm off. Oh, Isaiah, love the sweater. I was looking for you in the thank you, man. Look, you guys,
There you
so
go.
we are having our ugly Christmas sweater contest today. Do not forget. So I just want to point out that I am here in my Christmas unicorn sweater, which I will reveal fully to you in butt moments. In butt moments. All right, I'm gonna move. Hold on, waiting room. You guys don't need to see all that. All right. Everyone ready for our closing call of the year? Ken, Mark, Tim, Julie, you guys ready?
I forgot I had
Right,
it.
so this is our last call of the year. And as we like to do, it's our ugly Christmas sweater contest. And reminder to take your survey for a couple of reasons. One, it's fun and festive. It could be your Hanukkah sweater, your Kwanzaa sweater. I don't care. It's really your celebrate the holiday sweater. I am not eligible to win. If you've been around for any period of time, you know that I wear the same sweater every year, so that's kind of cheating. But this is my Christmas sweater. I want to point out, I think I was doing pretty good to find a unicorn Christmas sweater with glitter. It's very Stephanie-esque. So that's mine. Isaiah, I see your nice Christmas sweater there. Adam's got on. Adam, did you just throw on a
I
Christmas
did. I
sweater?
forgot that I
That's
had
awesome. You
this.
get
Now,
spirit.
this doesn't do, like, I'd have to have Andrea standing next to me because she has the green one that says, "Why is the carpet all red, Todd, all wet, Todd?" I don't know, Margo. So, yes, it's a little bit of a
Love it.
joint
I
effort
love
in
it.
that.
Yeah, Adam, I want to see you in one like on the screen with the tinsel and the balls. Like that'd be worth a
I used to have in
sweater.
college, I did one where we strung lights on it and I had a battery pack anchored to the back. So I was literally all lit up.
Yeah.
But it came with free beer. So
See,
you
I
do
think
anything in
I want to
college for
get one
free
of those
beer.
for the I want to get one of those to go skiing in it, where you just turn on the lights and you got the Christmas sweater over your bib and you're just like rolling down the mountain.
Right.
Yeah, unless you fall and then it's like that tumble of lights. That would be me, like tumble of lights
Right.
down the mountain. Yeah. For those of you who are joining us next year, we will be releasing information in our Park City Ski get together, which will very likely be sometime in February, early March. So stay tuned for that. If you have your ugly Christmas sweater on, I'm gonna do. Got to do the. I have to do full screen viewing here with everyone so I can see. All right. So Adam's got his. Isaiah, who else has an ugly Christmas sweater? Are the rest of you too proud? All right, we're gonna work on that next year. Christmas spirit or whatever you celebrate is really important. As we like to say here at Limitless, we take our work very seriously. We really try hard not to take ourselves too seriously, as it is evidenced by my Christmas unicorn sweater, in case anyone missed it, because we're all joining. Like, look at that. How is that for holiday glitter spirit? I'm just saying. Like, you gotta take it up a notch to put on a unicorn and glitter for Christmas. All right. If you have not, please scan that QR code and take your end of year survey. Feedback is our friend, as we like to say around here. It really does help us understand where we really nailed it this year, where there are opportunities for improvement. If you are joining us next year, you can be prepared for and expect a couple of pretty significant differences. One, we went back through all the data from this year. And we do all the things that we say we're going to do. But I did happen to notice that the data says that some contingent of people will quietly sit on the sidelines. I get emails from you every year saying I did all these amazing things, even though I was sitting quiet in the back of the call. And then there are a few people that don't. They just sit quiet on the sidelines. So we have that data now over a couple of years. So, as many of you know, we implemented the Limitless Works Guarantee next year, which is basically a commitment that says Limitless works if you do, right? If you go through the program, you follow the steps, and you do not see improvement in your practice in excess of your fees, we will refund your tuition. Now, obviously, that's a pretty big commitment. So you can imagine that we've taken all that data and upped our engagement model for next year. Everyone in Limitless has access to personal coaching. I looked at all the data. I thought about how we felt. And here's what I know. Adam can tell you, Leland can tell you, Isaiah can tell you, Jim can tell you. Sometimes a 20 or 30 minute call with a coach, whether it's me or an Adam or someone else, can just be the thing that gets you unstuck. You do not necessarily need or need to pay for deeper month-to-month or personal implementation. But what we know is that giving you that support is kind of like putting an oil on the track. It really helps you move along. So, if you are in the program next year, you'll see that pretty significant difference. We have a new 3-year roadmap, which I think most of you have seen, that really maps out how to get to the program in year one. Here is the recommended path. We think of that as your foundations. And then alumni years, right? Here are the options. And then we're actually breaking those down by avatar for you a little bit. So if you're starting out and you're more focused on growth, there'll be a version for you. If you're like, hey, I'm already at $1 million and I just need my time and my simplicity back, right? You're going to go through the core program, but there might be things that you do a little bit sooner in year one or in those other years than someone who's new. And so I'm literally, Michael and I spent a day mapping out in advance of Future Proof. We got together and mapped out the Lifestyle and Leaders Roadmap for the next 3 years. So it literally lays out all the lessons. And in Lifestyle, we'll give you avatar versions of that. If you're joining us for Leaders, it's that structured 3-year roadmap that you're used to seeing at this point, or will see next year. The survey is really helpful because, to my point, like, we look at that data, we scour every bit of it, and every year we make improvements and changes. And those are many of the changes that you'll see next year are based on feedback that we got this year and based on your QCIs and your check-ins this year. A number of you said, hey, it would just be nice to do I get a call? Do I not get a call? Every call we say, right, if you need help or you're stuck, please, please reach out. But we want to kind of take that question mark away so that we can put you on that track. So we'll be working on our roadmaps in January so you have your game plan for the year that's personalized to you. And then, as you're used to, right, quarterly summits, our monthly calls, and then coaching camps around implementation. So if you haven't taken the survey, please scan that QR code and do me a solid and give me your feedback so that we can continue to look at that data and information as we continue to improve the program. All right. Well, I would say that some of you are going to win the ugly Christmas sweater, but it's only the coaches and the guests who have the Christmas sweater. So I guess Isaiah by default wins. Woo! Come on, you got to give him a solid. Do appreciate that, Isaiah. I just want to
Thank you
say
so
there is
much.
something about all in, not that you have to wear an ugly Christmas sweater. But for those of you joining next year, what you'll notice is that the people who are in the success stories that we share, both in calls, certainly the ones that you see in emails or on social, are people that are all in. It does not mean that they're at the front of every call asking questions. It means that they're present, they're engaged, and they are taking action consistently on the things that we teach at Limitless. And what we know is if you work the plan will work. If it's not working, that means there's some breakdown in the person, the process, or the platform. And we talk all year about all the resistance that you face when trying to create change and improvement in your practice. It's hard to do on your own, it's hard to do in a community. But the goal, right, is for us to have that support system in place to help you move through that. So we will be awarding Isaiah the Christmas sweater. And we're going to kick off this year's wrap call with 3 success stories. Leland, Jim, and Isaiah are going to share their experience through Limitless this year, talk about where their wins occurred. There were lots of them, but these are kind of the big ticket items. And my invitation to you as they go through each of these is, one, really pay attention to how their story relates to yours. Some things will be the same, some things will be different. But what's not different is their desire to change and grow their practice, their struggle with time and focus and accountability, right? And so feel free to ask questions. They've got examples of different things they've implemented that they can show you. So, each of them are going to kind of share their experience in Limitless, the changes that they made, the impact that it had. And my hope is that you can get insights around how you've implemented or things that you can implement to create those same kind of effects. Again, feel free to ask questions or drop notes in the chat. Adam and I will kick in as we go. Lin, do you want to kick us off?
Sure, thank you. This has been my first year in Limitless. So all I knew was last fall, so a little over a year ago, that I was feeling like I am throwing so many things at walls and don't even know what's sticking or what's not sticking. And I just really lacked clarity. And I could see, I had some steady growth. I wasn't like failing in my business, but I just didn't have a sense of, solid peace or confidence in what I was building. And so came into Limitless, was really excited about it, did the first summit, got really overwhelmed trying to do everything at once, which was helpful to then later have Stephanie say, you're only in your first year. So like follow the first year roadmap. You're not trying to do legacy and leader and like all these other pieces of this yet. Like just, roadrunner, like rip off and deploy. Just figure out what you need to do. And so kind of went back through and looked at I'm gonna space on the name of it, but when you kind of grade your practice and it gives you the green, yellow, red
The
to try and
diagnostic.
the diagnostic. And used that as my initial, like, okay, what do I need to focus on? So a lot of it was around growth and dived into the, lessons. I'm very much like a self-paced person. So having the library of lessons was so helpful for me. And I feel like we at my practice really implemented a solid growth engine, figured out what was working, started tracking numbers, tracking the data. And it has been, night and day as far as how I feel about it and as far as how the numbers go. So, our revenue increased by over $100,000 this year. Most of that came in the latter half of the year once we really started implementing some of this predictable, it's just the law of large numbers. If you are doing it, if like the inputs and the outputs make sense. And my average revenue per client increased by $2,500 per client. Most of that is due to increasing our fees to what makes sense based on client profitability, and some right sizing, so increasing clients' fees. We did have an interesting situation where we had so many clients below our new fees that if we had just immediately right sized everyone, I think we genuinely would have lost such a big chunk that it would have put us back into rent and ramen. And so Stephanie was really helpful to say, like, segmenting clients. And so I have a rock star right hand who's taking over a lot of those relationships, and that's been helpful to just free up capacity. I think Limitless, one of the biggest things is the confidence and the clarity. Like I said, I was just throwing things at walls. Like, do I need a Twitter community? Do I need, a YouTube channel? Like, what do I need to do? And so getting clear on what are the avenues that bring me life that I like to do, that my gifts and skill sets naturally work with, and working there and kind of seeing, what do I need to be focusing on in my business? What's just playing office? And kind of having a greater vision and why has really helped me feel clear on making business decisions and knowing how to draw a line and say, I don't need to do that. Like, I can go home today. Like, I can go be with my family or prioritize the other parts of my life that really matter. Some of these other wins, the marketing win, creating repeatable processes with referrals and COIs. I was coming from a world that, asking for a referral was like trying to sell a used car and was just slimy and terrible, and I didn't have a process for doing it. And again, we're still working on really elaborating on this, but we've implemented a basic workflow for, when we get a referral, how do we follow up with the person who referred us? How do we seed referrals and ask for them? We just did our fall surge, and in every client meeting had kind of a housekeeping update that led to seeding referrals, and we've gotten a lot of referrals from that. And we had eight new qualifying clients just in the latter half of this year who are ideal clients from referrals, just by letting ideal clients know that we want more people like them and doing it in a way that's tactful and but also clear, and kind of welcoming our clients into the process with us, I think what has been really powerful. Yeah, this year has been such a big year. I'm like looking at these being like, yeah, we honed our value proposition, which then honed our service model. And that included bringing on tax prep, which is a huge decision that we had been kind of thinking about and processing through, but deciding what makes sense from a capacity standpoint. We don't need to do more just to do more. We want to focus in on our niche and say, like, what do they want? What actually drives value for them? So that was a really big decision for us. We've gotten clearer on our value adds and just kind of creating systems. Again, I'm a systems process. What value adds do we do? When? How? How do we streamline it? How do we make it not be the most labor intensive thing in the world, but also grab the, this year was like, grab the low hanging fruit that drives a lot of value and run with that. And ultimately, I feel like the biggest piece that helped me, this is such a, it's such a simple tool, but I'm like, why don't we do this all the time? The Success Shifter PDF, just going through that in the My Limitless Life practice and figuring out, like, I'm not just building a business. I'm trying to build my family, my life, my community, you know, everything around me. And so what does that, how does that work with business, with my wife, with my kids, with my friends? And going through that daily has helped create true, a deeper sense of balance for us. And my family's had a lot going on this year. We have a special needs son. We have a foster son. You know, we were going through IVF. Like, we just had a lot going on the home front. And so part of me was like, I could drown in the office and not be home and let my wife get burnt out. And then none of us are living our best life. Or I could, you know, engage and create some balance and, you know, still make it to appointments, still, you know, take vacation, still get away, and still grow our income and do that in a way that is hyper efficient. And so it hasn't been perfect. There's definitely been seasons where it's been sloppier or better. Like Stephanie said, you know, I'm not immune to, you know, getting into the weeds or fighting time or fighting, you know, the insecurities. Even right now, I'm like, gosh, is someone going to say he only increases revenue by 100,000, we increase by 300, you know, like, it's easy to get into comparison or insecurity. But for me and the goals that we're setting out to achieve, I feel like it's been a huge win for us this year to get our business more streamlined, get clear on what we need to do and start working towards that. And it's been really encouraging pretty quickly to see some direct results, you know, like 8 new qualifying clients, increased revenue, increased average client fee, you know, significantly has been huge. And seeing that, you know, my wife's not like, how long are we going to be in this phase? You know, like, I feel like she's beginning to see the payoff as well, which is super helpful.
Yeah. The rent and ramen phase is really fun. Those are just such great shares. The thing that I really like and appreciate about your story, and I was just making little notes, is one, that all at once feeling is really common, right? Every year we iterate on the summit action plans last year, right? To say from the summit, what are you going to work on this year? The roadmap, right? We're going to, each of you will personalize that in January. So there is no question about what you should be working on next. But if there is, you know that you can call us. No longer a question. You will hear, if you go back and watch the success stories or read emails, you will hear time and time and time again, people say, Adam, you've said it 1,000 times, like, your eyes, as soon as you go, ooh, turn on the light, look at what's possible. It's like you're at this giant buffet and you're hungry and you're trying to fix 5 or 10 or 15 years in, you know, like 90 days. And I'm like, hey, we're good. We're really good. We're not that good, right? Because you ultimately have to download, digest, and right, absorb and implement what you're learning, right? Which is why we do those quarterly chunks. And I know it seems overwhelming to your brain. You could pick any project, no joke, and work on it, and you'd be better off. Even if it were like out of sequence for your personal perfect timeline, what I think Isaiah and Adam and Leland and Jen will tell, like, sometimes it's just like, I'm going to pick something, I'm going to do it. And then you go, oh, that worked.
Yeah.
And what you heard Leland talk about was there was nothing magical or genius in his formula. It was literally what we teach you. Show up, don't worry about all the sexy stuff, pick one or two things, focus and get really brilliant at the basics. Hey, How about we put a service model in place and do model meetings and some value adds? And every time, Brian and Jed, who you heard, I think it was last call or earlier, right? Their story, same thing. They got to that $1 million mark without ever having to go out and do the other stuff, because adding value to your clients, optimizing your time and capacity, making sure you're charging the right fees. Turns out that those are things that all, right, incrementally add up to a really significant shift. So the other thing that you said that I really liked was you just had this version of just do it. Like, I just had to do something and go. And then you talked about Roadrunner. So all of you should really remember, and you have the, I think it's December 13th or the 16th. There are examples of everything in the library, right? Service models. I think I was looking the other day. There's like eight different examples: ours, Adam's, past alumni coaches. So that Roadrunner is you're never creating things on your own. So as you're sitting in your office and you're thinking about the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks, do not do the "it's over now, I'll just close out the year and start fresh." Like, really think about what is one thing, not 50 things. You're not going to cover that ground in 2 weeks. What is one thing you can focus on between now and year end that's going to move the needle? If you're joining us next year, that is not an excuse to not get really clear. And if you're not joining us next year, you should definitely do it, because you want to maximize the time that you have here. The thing I really liked, and Adam, I said this to you, I think in Denver when we got together, was the thing that to me is so powerful about the change that I see in all of you, because I get to see like the nitty-gritty, right? The first phone call of like, oh, and yeah, you know, like I get to see all of that, and you guys see the other side. You're like, oh, if I were Isaiah, or if I were Leland, or if I were Adam, or if I were Jim. And with all love, all I ever want to say is, whoa, 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 they were you. Like, at one point, they were as tired, as frustrated, as overwhelmed. The difference is they took that next best step. In this case, joining Limitless, and then, right, picking one thing, and then the next thing, and the next thing. The thing that I think is so remarkable about all of you, and you'll all say it in your own way, but you'll never say it in this way, is that you fundamentally sound and act differently when it comes to changing things in your practice. It's not like, oh, I don't know. Like, Adam just is like, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm working through this. I have this idea. Hey, that didn't work out the way that I wanted. I'm going to change that idea. There's not like, ah, there's just like he is executing on the vision. He's making tweaks and adjustments, right? And he's just continuing to hone that into, right, his next level best practice, the same way that Leland, Isaiah, and Jim are. So Leland, one, it's just been super cool. Like, you guys, this is year one for Leland. Very similar to Adam, you can do radical things. I tell people all the time, I know because I've experienced it personally and professionally, your life can be unrecognizably better in 12 months. And so this is an opportunity to really think about how you use this year. What were some of the break barriers that got in your way, right, as you are working towards your breakthrough? And then how do you make sure that you account for those next year? Leland, I just wanted to
Well,
ask, when it came to implementing, how did, like, to your point around the success shifter, is that what helped you kind of get that the flywheel going, as likes to talk about it?
I feel like Limitless was so helpful this year. And so even as you're talking, I was like, you had mentioned earlier in this call, hey, reach out if you need help. Like, I remember just posting in Tribe, like, I'm lost. Is anybody else lost here? And Stephanie hopped on a 30-minute call with me, and it gave me so much clarity. She was like, this is what you're going to do. Send me what you're doing. And she sent back an email that's basically been almost like my new roadmap a little bit. Like, it's helped me hone down. Okay, someone has looked at my practice that's not me, knows what I'm doing, knows what I've built and what I'm trying to build, and has said, here's the few things to execute on. And so that I feel like Success Shifter has been helpful to balance work and life and make sure and hold me accountable to certain things, like the tedious, like how many times am I doing this, that, or the other in a month or in a week? But it's been kind of a team effort between, like, I'm in a mastermind with another Limitless advisor who's been helpful to check in on, having a coaching call with Stephanie. And then the Success Shifter is kind of the more practical day in and day out. Like, hey, I haven't gone home early once this week, but that's on my success shifter. So we got to make that happen. I also think, so those would be like the more practical, like those were the few things I really saw tangible change, but the mindset shift has been just as practical, if not more powerful. I remember at the first summit call or the launch call for the year, just talking about like get comfortable being uncomfortable and saying like these things are scary.
Everybody increasing, had that year? Yeah.
Yeah, like increasing your fees are scary. Having that conversation with clients is scary. You know, putting your niche on your website feels scary. You know, all these things where you're like, your gut sort of tightens up a little bit and you're like, oh, am I really doing this well? And then you do it and it's natural. And, you know, we didn't have a single client buck at our fee increases. Some increases were over double their fee. And we didn't have anybody buck at the, you know, niche on the website, but all that did was increase our SEO. So it's like, you know, I think realizing, like you said, Stephanie, making change originally feels really scary. But once you get comfortable with it, then you're just like, well, this is what we're going to do. We're running towards a goal that's bigger than just having a people pleaser practice, but into like a practice that really drives change. And sometimes that takes doing uncomfortable things. And so we're just going to do it.
Well, did you guys just hear, like, it's so practical, his commitment, but again, on the front end of that, Isaiah had them, Jen had them, Adam certainly did. I call them white knuckle moments where you're like, they're telling me this is okay. My brain says it's okay, but that little caveman in the back of my brain is like, don't do it. This is going to go so badly. And I got to tell you, I say this every time, knock, knock, knock on all the wood. I've been doing this 30 years. I have not in 30 years had one person call me and say, that was awful. Literally every time those white knuckle moments are followed by some version of, wow, why didn't I do that sooner? And when it's fee raises and transitions and you're like, oh, it's going to be terrifying. Ask Leland, like after the third or fourth, you're like, let's do this. Then you're like, let's go to that next segment. Actually, nobody had any issues with that whatsoever. Like I have people literally call me up and they're like, oh my God, I'm going to just rush. Like I thought this was going to be this long drawn out thing. They do that first tranche of the terrifying transitions, as we call them, right? Fees, services, or advisors are changing. Those are the three terrifying transitions. They are also the most valuable things you can do to optimize time, capacity, and margins. There's a great quote that I love. I have it on my wall over there. And it says, write this one down, because this is my, I'm going to call this the Leland challenge. What is the thing or the change that you were most afraid of making that you haven't made yet? Make that change. The cave you fear to enter is where all your treasure lies. You have to demonstrate that you want it, that you're willing to show up, be uncomfortable, know your worth, charge your fees, make sure you feel confident about the value you're delivering. If you don't, go fix that, then go do it. Like it is really like A plus B equals C. Truly, it's why it works over and over again. The only thing that doesn't work is the resistance that we face. And that's what you're all in some form or fashion trying to overcome, right? What's happening in your head, what's happening in your schedule, the hesitation around decisions, that, oh, I don't know, the pausing and the procrastination, I'll get to that later, are all strategies that your brain uses to slow you and stall you so that you stay squarely rooted in the status quo. To Leland's point, as you should now know, your job is to insert yourself in the 5% of your conscious thinking to say, my name is Isaiah, and this is what I'm going to do with my practice this year, right? And here is the next thing I'm going to do. And then as Isaiah will share, like you make the next change and the next, and that's how that flywheel gets going. If you're on the treadmill and you never pause to get off, you can't get on the flywheel, right? They are not the same thing. One is energy and momentum are working for you and you feel like I've got agency. I can make a change. I'll figure it out. I can call someone, which is very different than sitting back and going, I don't know. I can't, I shouldn't. I don't know how. It's going to be terrifying. I don't know if I should call anyone. I don't know what's next. Those are all shrinking strategies that your brain uses, literally to give you that case of the small. So we sit back and we shrink ourselves from what's possible in terms of what's next. So Leland, I think, is a fabulous example, as Adam was in that first year. Like, if you come in and you get really clear, not, hey, what's the plan of everything? Like, Leland got clear on the few things he was going to work on, and then he raised his hand, and then he got a roadmap that was like, go do all these things. And that's how the system really should work, right? You get what you need, you reference the resources, you raise your hand, we get you over that hurdle or hold you accountable if that's what you need. Flywheel starts turning faster, right? And then you get that energy and momentum. And like Adam and Leland and Isaac, like you go, oh, this is what I'm going to do this quarter. Doesn't mean you don't get busy, doesn't mean you don't get distracted, but it means that you know there are levers on the wall that you can go choose to pull at any time to make things different and better. And the second that you get clear that you have that kind of agency in your practice, whether it's with Limitless or anyone else, I don't care. That's the magic potion. That's the mojo. The second that Ian goes, actually, I will figure this out, or I'll find a way, or I'll make one, or I'll ask someone, but I know this is right. I need to create this change. These are the steps I'm taking. It is in that effort of energy expenditure that all the change happens. And that's effort is what we have to do to insert ourselves between us and that resistance, which is why things like the Success Shifter are so valuable, because it's essentially a personal awareness and accountability system that says, Julie, these are the things that are going to help you. Let's focus on doing more of those. These are the things that are holding us back. Let's focus on not doing those. And you're literally with that tool rewiring your brain with your personal operating system. Your thought habits and your behavior habits determine your business habits and your success. So starting with you, I think to Leland's point, is the most important thing that you can do, because knowing how to use your time and what to focus on is the momentum that creates everything else and makes it possible. Leland, it's been a pleasure. I still have, Leland sent me a video. It was very cute. It was like what, 15 or so, 20 minutes. He sends me this video of like, here's his whole marketing thing. You guys should all ask Leland. It's a great video. He has the whiteboard. He like maps the whole, he like took my roadmap and he like built the whole thing. And he's like, I did this and I did this and I built this funnel and I did this. And he's like, what feedback do you have? I was like, that's great. Go do that. Like literally, I mean, I think I had some context in there, but the gist of my email was like, dude, you just crushed it. Like you took what I gave you and like you did it all and you're implementing. And with marketing, which is again, getting that pipeline going, you have to start the engine to get it purring. And we are so hesitant. We are going to really kick your butt next year in Q1 on that. If you are around next year, get ready for a much higher degree of accountability. Like we need to be looking at like, what are we doing to grow net new and assets pipeline, not just the big stuff, but like, what's your daily plan to make that happen? So Leland, congratulations on a fantastic year. You drank from the cup with both hands and it shows, and we could not be more honored and happy to see the kind of results that you got, man.
Thank
Woo
you. I appreciate it.
woo. Woo woo. Where's my little, wait, I have these, you guys see the new emojis? Oh, see, they disappear. I can never tell. I'll have to find the emojis. Someone has the emojis, you can do them.
Under React,
React, hold on.
the little heart symbol.
I know it's normally up on my thing, but now I've got nine things open, so it truncates it. All right, Leland, we're sending you hearts. Oh, there we go. Thank you, guys. All right. If you guys have any questions for Leland, feel free to draw. I didn't see any in the chat while we were covering. Did anyone have any questions for Leland before we go to Isaiah? Quiet contemplation. I like it. All right. I actually think Jim is next. Let's see who's next. Mr. Nowak, you there?
Yes,
There
I'm
you
here. I was about to just send a little chat to tell Leland, like, yeah, I mean, he took all my thunder. It's great. I need 2 minutes. It's awesome.
Perfect.
Yeah, all right. So you want me to give me the overview here? I'll just tell you, I'm here to give, but every time you give, you get tenfold back. Already, I've got 10 or 15 things I wrote down from Leland. So if you're not writing stuff down or grabbing some from here, you're missing out. So I've had a lot. This is my third year through Limitless, right? This is that third year that, oh, I should have done it all. Well, even if I did 10% of what I achieved, we still exceeded all expectations. I'll just tell you the issues that I faced. I got four issues that I faced coming into this. One was I can't say no. And Stephanie's learned I've learned how to say no. I even used that example to I think my wife and my kids the other day. They don't want to say no to anything. And I'm like, well, if we say yes to everything, we're saying no to something else. We just don't know what it is. Second, I want to do everything perfect, so I just learned rip off and deploy. Oh man, I stole that idea, and I used that tremendously. Focus, time, distraction. Oh, I am ADD central, like times 10, just so everybody knows. But the idea is to figure out one thing. And then Leland said he's self-paced, and I said I am absolutely not. I'm the opposite. So Leland, when you self-pace yourself, I just said, I'm going all in on this one thing in the next 2 weeks, and I'm going to finish it. And then maybe I'll be undistracted enough to do something else next month. So I think you still have Isaiah, Stephanie. You might want to put mine stuff.
Oh, I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
Steph, I think you clicked forward a slide. There we
Yeah, there
go.
we go.
There you go. Okay. So I'll go through each, and then I've got a couple other things to go through. So my client win, we came in, we've done the limitless lifestyle. We're kind of maybe teetering into the scale, or actually I'm totally into that scale now. So again, if the assets are different than what your goals are, don't worry about that. Everybody has different solutions that we're trying to solve for. I think next year, my big solve is time balance, more with, I shouldn't say balance, but just more with the family. I need to get back to exercising and other things. So we just want to sustain where we're at. But yeah, year to date, we're up 16 new clients. We're up 26 million new assets. That's as of October 31st. I think we brought in three more. So I think we're going to hit 30 million of new assets, hopefully 25 to 27 net this year. That's really cool. More important than that is how that's, I think, a lagging indicator. The leading indicator was the mindset win. So I'm just going to go into it. If you're not using these summits and going to the conferences, I think you're going to get a lot out of Limitless regardless if you're self-paced like Leland. But for me, I need to go there. I need to see Stephanie. I need to see the coaches. I need to ask Adam 10 things every time I see him because he's doing so many things right. And if I could get one idea. So we had a dinner. I won a dinner with the coaches one night, and they like just burned me. I felt like I was just roasted about why I should set my minimums to a million. I realized for me, I have a lot of pre-retirees that are going to retire with a million, but if I could bring in, $300,000 to $400,000 those couple years, I'll get the big rollovers. So we set the minimum up to 6K minimum. And that wound up being 1.5 for 400 and 1.25 for 500. Most of our clients are at about 1% a year because they're over a million. But that was huge for me. That was the biggest mindset shift because I'm a people pleaser. Again, going back to Leland, I just want to say yes to everybody. But again, I said yes to them. That means I said no to all the high net worth clients that I'm more suited to serve going forward. And I think that is really what helped us. The last call I had with Stephanie, again, that coach access was, Jim, you got to get rid of some people, you got to right size them, or you need staff to help you. And I have the new guy in the other room, Gabe. He's been here about a month. And it was hard for me to have another hire because I wasn't sure if I'm ready to get somebody else to be a servicing advisor. And he's brand new. He's probably going to be working with clients in about a year. But that was huge for my firm and to know I just got to get them to that next level quicker, faster. Is anybody else, if anyone is on this, maybe considering about their right hand, if you're on the fence, again, talk to Stephanie, of course, but my answer would be if you don't have a right hand, you're doing all their work. And I would tell you, get the best right hand, which I have now, and I've had it for a couple of years. It makes all the difference in the world. And I'm going to tell you, that's how you're going to scale your time or your growth. All right, marketing win. This one I didn't know what to do. I do a lot with marketing. I have a marketing calendar for 2025 built out from mailers to newsletters to webinars to lunch and learns to retirement classes to everything. I mean, it's built out, but again, I have somebody helping me with that. But I used to do it myself. And hey, if I added seven things and I got to four every month, it really was what helped build me here. The next initiative, again, going back to the summit, met Greg Winnell. Winnell, what's his name?
Well,
Winnell.
no.
Will now. Yeah,
Will
Greg Will
now.
now. That's
Okay.
it. Yep.
Yeah, we're debating about hiring him because I just learned about the lead magnets that he set up for Adam and all that. And our website is good. My wife is not happy with it. She wants it to be amazing. So that's probably our next initiative into next year. But the other one was, and I kind of put this under value, was I used a lot of video, not nearly as much as I had hoped, but I learned from Limitless, from folks here, is like Loom. No, I don't have Loom videos for all my processes. That's where Adam's great and I'm not. I like to go out and talk and meet with people, and I like to play chess in my head with financial planning. That's where my strong suit is. But I use Loom to engage people, to thank prospects, to get them prepped for the next meeting. That was huge for me. If you're not using video, I think we're missing out. And you could use it so simply. That was one thing it really took. I can't tell you how many times I had a new client said yes. And I sent them a Loom the next day about all the next steps. And I got responses like, God, your organization is so organized and it's so set up. I'm like, man, it was a 2-minute video, but it changed the impression. And I think we have a good onboarding, but I think it changed the impression to them. Value wins. Oh my gosh. All right, here you go. I implemented Surge 100%, all in 6 weeks. My team is scrambling every time we do it, but it's getting better. Now we're down to 5 weeks. I also implemented a surge for my retirement classes. So when I teach classes, I'm usually getting 20 to 30 folks come in and see me, and we kind of have a surge for those. Video, I already talked about. Delegating the email, mostly. I'm still a control freak, but wow, that has helped because now the emails need to go to my other team members. They go there, and I don't have to touch them. Tech stack, Limitless, you guys are all tech geniuses. I guess I'm at that point where I feel like I'm the old guy in the room, and I probably am now, but I am like old. I'm the late adopter. I'm slow, but I've used a lot of technology, Precise FP, FP Pathfinder, all the stuff I've learned from Limitless groups and folks. What else? The Fit Call. Wow, the Fit Call. You know, I do get a lot of inflow of traffic, and I used to give everybody an hour because I want to help everybody. But I realized, hey, a 15-minute call, and if somebody has $200,000 and they're not going to retire soon, I got a list of other advisors. I get them to where they need to be. I save my time, I save my staff's time, and I protect the time for my existing clients. So, like, if you haven't gone through the prospect process, what is it called? Perfecting the prospect process. Go through that, read it. Take 80% of what they have, just throw it on the wall, start implementing it, and refine it the second time. I'm taking too much time. Limitless win.
No, you're great.
All right, limitless win. Here's where I won. The first time I went out to see Stephanie and those folks, I think it was February, somewhere in the, I think it was out in a ski lodge somewhere, really cool place. And they said, "What was your dream?" And I said, "I want to take a month off." And Stephanie, I remember chatting with me, was like, "Well, why isn't it on there? Schedule it. Just do it." It's like, because, and you know, should all of yourself, right? Is what they said. So I just scheduled it. I said, "Honey, we're gonna go to Maine for a month." And she said, "When?" I said, "When the kids get out of school." And we just planned it and we did it, and it was awesome. The year after I took Ireland, we did 3 weeks. Last year we did an RV trip with another family for 2 weeks. Yes, do you hear the trend? A month, 3 weeks, 2 weeks. I have teenagers. They're like, they want to be at home. But we did 3 weeks away, including New York. And next year it's Italy and Greece. So that was my huge win. Unbelievable. Stephanie, can I take one more minute to run through
Yeah,
things? Okay.
please.
Hey guys, I wrote down after this is here are the tools that I think you need to look at before the end of the year. Number one, you need a one-page business plan that's in the tribe. That is my game plan for next year, every year. And I'm doing it on the 17th this year. I have a time block. We talked about the annual calendar for me. We have our surge meetings blocked out entirely for next year already. And if you don't have a calendar, nothing's going to get fit in. I have all my school time now for all my kids. I got 4 kids. We have our summer trip. Do that. That's how it got me to where I am today. The mastermind. So this is kind of a success, but kind of a failure all combined. You know, we had a mastermind and a lot of the folks kind of dropped out or fizzled out. Maybe they're on this call, but it just didn't work out. So I created my own, and you should go through the mastermind exercise and have one. The reason I'm also like, I've hit probably 60% of my goals, maybe 70, is because I have a mastermind meeting on Wednesday morning for 2 hours. use that, leverage it, use extreme accountability, and everybody in this room is open to it, right? Talk to somebody. That had helped me a ton. And go to the conferences. I have like 30 other notes, but I think that's good enough. What do you think, Stephanie? Ask
I
me
love
any
it. I love
questions.
it. I was grabbing this for people. No stress process. There you go. In the notes.
Success shifter starting today. The
Oh.
business vision. Oh my gosh, the business vision should be before the one-page plan should be before the calendar. Everybody should do that. And I'm going to land on B. Get comfortable being uncomfortable because Leland stole that from me too. But I'm always uncomfortable. I live in a world of uncomfortableness. And I just think that's what you got to do. And if you want to be successful.
Well, I always say if you're not uncomfortable, then we haven't done our job. The real question is what you do with that discomfort. So it's really interesting. I talk to my kids about this a lot. They're 13 and 17. When they were little, I kept thinking they'd get older and then I could talk to them, and now they still roll their eyeballs at me. That feeling that you get, you've all felt it, where you're going to work on something and you're staring at a page or you just don't know, and you have like that feeling in your brain. That feeling is literally your brain growing. And my kids are studying and they're like, I'm never going to get this. I'm like, that awful feeling in your head right now where you're like, oh. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, that's literally your brain growing. Those neural pathways are stretching for what's new. And that discomfort is required because the whole point of Limitless is one thing. It is to literally disrupt your operating system. Your personal operating system and your professional operating system, so that you can create new levels of mastery in both personally, clarity, time, focus, discipline, accountability, leadership, key tenets of successful people in any space or profession, period. If we cannot master our mindset and our thinking, right, and then apply the way ourselves, our time, energy, and capital the way that we want, we are not in charge of our businesses or our lives. And that is why very often you will feel like you are not running your practice, it's running you. That's the treadmill. We want to get off the treadmill, start turning the flywheel. The treadmill's easy. You show up, you're like frustrated, but you do it again today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. The flywheel is pause. I'm going to work on my success shifter between now and year end. I'm going to go work on that prospect process between now and year end. I'm going to put time on my calendar. I'm going to sit down. I don't know about you. I get new tech. I love tech and new things, right? Adam introduced me to Flown, and then like shows up on my calendar, and I'm like, oh, I'll do that later. Because my brain is literally like, it's new, it's effort, it's energy. Just put it off and do the easy routine automatic. Just go check email, go get distracted. Like, it's so not effortful to do that. Like, it's easy to maintain the habits that are not fully serving us. So if you have been uncomfortable this year, that is literally the moment where you sit in that space and consciously or subconsciously decide to move forward with a next step to turn the flywheel, or you don't. So if you've had that pain, frustration, or tension this year, that is your warning signal. Ding, ding, ding. This is something you definitely need to deal with in the next 30 days. Like, that's my invitation to you. Whatever creates that feeling or frustration or uncertainty is very likely one of the big levers that you need to pull. And as Jim's gone through and others, right, there's a lot of resistance that happens up here along the way. But when you make that commitment, as you are hopefully seeing, when you make the commitment to make the changes actually show up with a better practice. So, Jim, you've been what? This is your third year. And it really just goes to show, like, if you went back to your first year, I'm sure that flywheel was turning. I don't know how it compares to year three. Like, what was your experience? Did it build over time? Did you kind of stall out and really get your legs in year two and three? Like, what was your experience?
Oh man, so I've always had a coach, right? I've gone through different programs, and I think I kind of know a lot. And I've implemented quite a bit too. But Stephanie, I came in here, and if anybody's new to coaching and they come to Limitless and think they're overwhelmed, don't worry. I've been through many programs and I was still overwhelmed. I was like, holy crap, all the stuff that they have here. Like, she's not giving me one way, she's giving me five ways, which for an ADD person, that's the worst, but good. Yeah, I think it was a matter of The first year you didn't have that roadmap. The whole roadmap really helped. Prior to that, I feel like we were just thrown out to the Wild West with everything. But I feel like I just went down whatever my pain points were, the diagnostic, the same thing. I got a couple reds and I said, all right, let's work on a prospect process. Let's work on this fit call. Last year was the onboarding. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I think the onboarding was one of the biggest definers of how our new clients perceive us versus the prior ones. I mean, because we have refined it. And with that, I have delegated the onboarding to other team members. Actually, I've delegated to my paraplanner, like he's been running the meeting. So, gosh, what was the flywheel versus today? I think I hit maybe three or four big wins every year. I think that's what it is. And if anybody's used EOS or something, I write a big rock and I had, for the year, that's your business vision. That's your one page plan. I had like three or four things, and I might have missed a lot of little ones, but I hit the big ones every year and I committed to that. That was
If
huge.
you pick one big project a quarter, which is how this is, right? You can do more for sure, and some of them go together, like right sizing really naturally leads into service model, right? Once you've right sized, you know who you want to have and who you want to grow with, so you know what kind of service model to create, right? So it gets a lot easier if you do it in sequence. But yeah, those changes really do. We talk so much here about how consistency compounds. If you listen to Adam over 5 or what, 6 years now, right? It wasn't like, oh, this massive change and then nothing. It was build, kind of what I think it was like 9 or 10 months he did that first, Adam, remember you did that first big journal post where you're like processing, and that was kind of the dam breaking for you. Like literally, you might be in a place where you've implemented some stuff, but you haven't turned that flywheel into high gear yet. That doesn't mean it's not possible or available. You could pick any one of the things that Jem or Leland mentioned and knock those out in 2 or 3 weeks with some dedicated time. Seriously, we're not talking months and months. We're talking about like, what's the biggest lever you can pull? Get that knocked out in the next 30 days. If you're not, 100% certain about, like, just get the draft done, because that's 80% of, right, the barrier that holds you back. But Jem, it's really great to see all the changes that you've made over the years, and to just see again, like, now you're like, I'm going to show up, I'm going to pick my priorities, I've got my process for knowing what to focus on in my practice when things, right, when you realize there's opportunities for improvement, you can identify them, figure out how to solve for them. And you've got, he's got a, how we talk so much about the system has to be stronger than the resistance it will face. So for Jem, part of that mastermind, which we did in Limitless in the past, as Jim noted, if you pick a mastermind, they can go really great. If you put them together, they can. Sometimes they don't click. Next year, we're going to be doing a version of that with buddy and accountability partners for those of you that want to do it. There's something really compelling about saying, hey, even if it's like, hey, I'm going to check in with a weekly email and let this person know what I did relative to what I said I was going to do, right? And then like a monthly or biweekly call can be really powerful. So if you are around next year, we'll talk to you a little bit more about that, because again, it's just another accountability system, which is all we're ever talking about. How do we make sure that we get clear, we get focused, and then we're able to execute on the things we need to improve the practice? So Jim, good to see all that great progress, man.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
I still can't find my reaction button, but if I could, I swear it's like it was here and now it's not here, which is funny.
It's funny you bring that up. I saved that forum post from, like where it took like 9 months of me just kind of processing everything, and I saved like the important parts of it. Not even the entirety, but the important parts of that post, and it's 14 pages, single spaced. Which is the entirety of the back and forth between yourself, myself, a couple of other members that chimed in. So it's weird how there are just but a handful of moments in life that truly do chart our course differently.
It's what we do with those moments, as I mentioned with Jen. Like when you hit that resistance point, when you're like, oh, I'll do it later, or I just don't know, or that is literally the ding 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 button that says, actually, we need to do something different. Doing something different is, in fact, the very best thing we can do, because that's the pattern interrupt, right? Put 10 minutes a day on your calendar to start a new behavior, block time, right? 2 hours a week to work on things, like something to disrupt the pattern. Unless the momentum and the flywheel are moving in the way that you want, in which case you want to keep those things up, right? And then double down, because irrespective of whether your behaviors and your habits are positive or negative, here's what I can guarantee you: consistency compounds. You are creating more of what you're doing right now, this day, this week, this month, right? So if we project that forward, is it going to get you more of what you want or more of what you don't, right? And that's where we have to insert ourselves and create change in the process. All right, Isaiah, man, I'm looking forward to having you share your story with everyone. It's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think all my material is taken care of, so I think we're good here. Nonetheless, no, thanks for having me, guys. And Stephanie, high five, Christmas sweater.
Thank you.
There you go. Stole from my wife, so it's a little snug, but it's working. But nonetheless, Jim, Leland, you guys are rock stars. So, damn, high five to you guys. Thanks for having me. You know, this is my second full year in Limitless. And, you know, like many others, you know, yeah, white knuckle, that's definitely, it should be Limitless white knuckle advisor business. I
it's
mean,
starting to get stickers made.
Man,
I tried
I mean,
Limitless with a white knuckle and all I got was this lousy t-shirt and a white knuckle moment. That's right.
God, I mean, well, when I started last year, I mean, white knuckle was at the first summit, you said you should fire your pain in the butt clients. I did that without thinking. I don't know. Maybe the play was a good thing. So, I mean, I lost three of my largest five clients. I was having a baby, was buying a new house. A lot was happening. And you had Limitless in that. It's a lot. But nonetheless, yeah. So for the last couple of years, you know, I've been able to grow my business in a way that I'm more time efficient than anything else. I'm not the biggest. I'm not growing the fastest like a rocket ship. But I feel like I've gotten pretty darn good at getting really efficient with my time and knowing what's important and what's not important and saying yes, or more importantly, saying no on that end. And so I guess I'll start from the bottom and work my way up. Actually, Coach Adam was the one that sort of motivated me to join Limitless. I've never shared this, but my wife's a school teacher. And so, you know, a goal for us was, hey, we had our first son last year. We want to grow our family, God willing, next year. So she would love to stay at home. I completely agree with that. And so a goal for us last year was, hey, let's, you know, grow the business enough where you can stop working. We have some extra and that you can stay at home. And then on top of that, it was me being present with my son and my family. And so, like Jim was saying, if you haven't already, go online to Tribe and write down what your number one goals are, priorities are, because that was mine last year and this year. It did not change. Making enough for my wife to stay at home and also to being with my son. Was able to achieve that this year, which is fantastic. Gotta think of, I'm already am, but I gotta think of some new goals for next year. I never wanted to be that, you know, 40, 50, 60 hour work, week work guy. I mean, I want to be present with my family, you know, God willing, you know, years from now, I want to coach my son's t-ball team, what have you, and, you know, pick him up and from, you know, school, what have you. So that was really important to me. So joining Limitless, it was setting up the foundation for what I wanted my life and my business to look like moving forward. And so how I got there, I think it shows right there, was this specific year. Yeah, I was able to grow my business by 20%, which is awesome. And I was able to do it on average by working 13 hours a week. And that wasn't a goal. It sort of just happened. The reason for that was I work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays for the most part. So full day Tuesday, Thursday, half day Wednesdays. I watch my son on Monday, Fridays. So I'm daddy daycare on those days. And so it was imperative for me to be cognizant of my time. I couldn't waste time. There was no time to waste. And so for me, it was important, and this goes to the value piece, is, you know, asking myself the question of what can I do to cut down the hours that I work that provides more value and make more money for me? That's the biggest thing. A big piece of that was last year, 2023, and Stephanie, you probably know, there was a gal that came on. She talked about, it was in one of the virtual summits, surveys to your clients, asking good questions. So that really, yeah, so that really resonated with me. And so I never did that before. So after that summit, the next week I made a survey to my clients and I learned a lot. What I thought was important to my clients and service was actually entirely the opposite. I thought that having quarterly reviews with clients was important. They wanted biannual reviews. They didn't want to talk 4 times a year. Fine, I love it. That cuts back the time, that cuts back the prep, the meeting time, the post-meeting time. It cuts back a lot of hours there. I ask them what they're looking for. For my specific clients, they're retirees. They're not so much into the tax planning and maybe a little bit of insurance planning, but they really want to focus on the retirement planning piece. So we talk about their Social Security and their cash flow and their retirement planning. And yeah, we'll talk about investments, but that's what they want to focus on. So our conversations are geared and directed towards exactly that and nothing else. So when we do talk, they feel like, Isaiah's listening. We're talking about exactly what I want to talk about. And what do you know? When I started doing that, it leads to more referrals, more impactful conversations. It was fantastic. And then fast forward to this year, 2024, I did another survey and I found out that, and again, my clients are retirees. They don't want to meet in person anymore. And most of them are within 15 to 25 mile radius. So they're fairly close. I mean, I'm here in Southern California. So yeah, the freeways are a mess.
It's still an
But
hour.
yeah, so I mean, maybe it's a little bit different, but nonetheless, that was a huge piece for me. So I'm closing my office and in January and going fully virtual. And so that's what worked for my clients. And so again, that's cutting back on the time and the expenses and overall and everything else. And so, and then the surveys were huge. And so I would highly encourage you guys, if you haven't, ask your clients what they're looking for. It's not hard, it's very simple, and it makes the experience, it makes your relations with their clients that much better, I think. Fast forward to the marketing wins. I had a niche to begin with before I joined Limitless, but I really went, I dove head into it when I started. It was, have a niche. Mine was retirees, but I took it a step further, so I got even more micro. I work with only one company. They're a utility firm here in Southern California. So I did my best to become the go-to guy. Then I was emailing Stephanie here a few weeks back. Right now, I'm going to be starting making white papers going for 2025, making videos. I had some templates, I had some things already built, which I would share with them. But my number one focus is I want to be that guy. So when these people call from the company, I want to talk to Isaiah. This is the person. My friends have gone to them. My coworkers have gone to them. They know my retirement plan better than I even know my retirement plan. That's what I wanted to do. And that has led to 90% of my clients now are from this company. And basically, all of my clients now come from this single company, no one else. For me, like I mentioned in the beginning, I'm not trying to become a billion-dollar firm at the moment. I just need 5 to 7 really good clients a year. That's all I need. Each of these clients have 1.2 million to 2 million bucks on average. And they're awesome people. And so that's what I focus on. That has allowed me to be less stressed because before I joined Limitless, it was, okay, I need to find, 15, 25 new clients. I need to get, to, 15 million in new assets. No. Just what's important to you, what's important to your life, what's important to your business and your family, and work about that way. And so for me now, it's 5 to 7 new clients a year. That's all I need. And making the specific marketing content for those companies, for the employees of there, so that when we do talk, they have some familiarity with me. They have an idea of who I am. Jim mentioned the Loom videos. I live with Loom videos. And Adam, yeah, I mean, I do that when I talk to a new prospect, I send them a 1 minute Loom video and I get the same thing. This is amazing. Took 60 seconds, but to them, it's a huge difference. Same thing for clients too, to save on time, the client profitability analysis, I think, right? That one. What do you know? I learned that 20% of my clients give me about 85% of my revenue. So why am I spending, and I love all of my clients, but why am I spending equal time for every single one of them when there's about 15 to 17 good clients that give me most of my revenue? So I'm gonna spend most of my time there. And that's where, for the other ones, I send them Loom videos. It has that personal feel. It has that touch. They feel like we talk. They feel like we, they have that interaction with me, and that works just as well. So those are the marketing wins. Mindset win. I think I word vomited a little bit when I was writing this one. So I guess the difference for that is, when I started Limitless, and at times it still happens, but nowhere as close as before, you have that imposter syndrome. You're not good enough. You're not big enough. You're not growing enough. You're not doing enough for your clients. When you begin to finally have some structure, some processes, for me, it was in 2023, so my first year in Limitless, because I had a newborn, I was getting 2 hours of sleep. I couldn't focus on four different things. I could only focus on one thing. So for me, it was, I'm going to write down what I'm doing on a daily basis and see if I can make a template or see if I can make a process for it to make it easier for me in the future. And that's what I did. And so every single thing I have now has a template or a process. You don't realize how many hours you write emails to clients or send DocuSign or do onboarding. When you have a template for that, you pre-populate it, fills in the name, maybe you change a sentence here or there. You multiply that by hundreds of times a year. That saves countless hours, which means why I work in less than, that 13-hour span. Same thing for processes too. I mean, client onboarding, we did the same thing. And I forget who it was. Thank you to the library because I took a good chunk of that, made it my own, and made my own onboarding process. All of that really helps. And so by having a process, by having templates, I feel like you have control. Which gives you some clarity, which obviously leads to some peace of mind. And so, because of that, it's allowed me to feel now that I'm not running around with my head cut off. I have a process. I know what I'm going to be doing on Tuesday. I know what I'm going to be doing on Wednesday. I know what I'm going to be doing on Thursday. And so, it's huge on that end. I have to add in the what is it? Your ideal week, right? I mean, what you're going to do Monday through Friday. That's what I live by. What are you going to be doing? So if a client calls on, Monday, great. I'm going to talk to you on Tuesday. That's when I do all my client stuff. And Thursdays are my marketing days, and Wednesdays are my, combination of client service and compliance stuff or what have you. And so it's important to be organized in that sense. And then obviously that's led to, yeah, this year we've had a good year. We're up 20% and based off our AUM. And so, yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a process. But like, Leland said, and Jim, if you could focus on one or two things or just a few and just
Yeah.
re get really good at that, it can have tremendous impact on what you're looking to do. So that's what I'm sure.
Well, it is interesting, Adam. I remember our early conversation. Like, once the flywheel gets going, you guys just call me and you're like, hey, here's what I'm doing. What do you think? Right. In the beginning, there's that element of like getting it going. And I think we think, you guys tell me, because you've all been through it from a different place than I have, but like our brains, right? We just start to think like, oh, it's so big, it's so much. And so we don't attack it because our brain wants to be like, let's go find 4 days to, no, that's never going to happen unless you block out 4 days, which you could do right now on your annual calendar. Right, because that makes it a decision and a commitment, and then we can sit in the space of just asking ourselves what it will take to make it happen. The thing that I think is so remarkable about your story is everyone I love about Limitless is the community is so supportive, and everyone's like, "Oh, that was great! High five! High five! High five!" Which is awesome, right? And notice Isaiah started with, "Well, I'm not growing as much as the others," but if you can grow 21% in a year, that's double digit growth. In 13 to 14 hours a week. Yeah, that's like a huge epic win. Most people can't create, most advisors struggle to create that kind of growth in 40 or 50 hours a week. So, Ben Brandt, who many of you remember, had six kids. So he was like, hey, I need to get, like, having a lot of kids is one of the reasons, right? Some of us want, I don't have a lot of kids. I just have two high maintenance ones, right? We want a lot of that time. I'm just being honest, love to death. And those are goals that, traveling. I love people like, hey, I want to travel, or like it's about experiences. And so what I really hope Isaiah's example highlights is how much waste is in our average week. Like, I'm sure Isaiah is efficient, like for sure, but he's not explained some godlike level of efficiency, like, oh, I've taken Adam stuff and quite, like, no, he's doing the stuff we teach you to do. Brian Voss, who's one of next year's alumni coaches, right, got there. He has systems and checklists. He didn't even have to get to right where he's automated everything. He just standardized and systematized it so, right, so his staff could essentially do that. Which is what I love is that you were very conscious of the choices you were making, right? What you were going to work on next, And so it doesn't feel like a project and another project are going to radically change your practice. You're not like, oh, I'm going to build a service model and I'm going to have 21% growth in 5 years. I'm going to have 80%. Your brain doesn't sit in that space. Your brains are hardwired to focus on the problems, not the possibilities, on the obstacles, not the opportunities. It is picking something, engaging with it, being willing. When I write for the trash can. Like, you just have to do the draft to get it out there. That's why Roadrunner, right? Rip off and deploy, refine until no new edits are required. You don't even have to. Jed was like, I took the sales process, I literally cut and paste it. That's what I used. It works. I didn't even need to tweak it. If you want to tweak it, great. People do it all the time. But literally, the answers to your biggest problems are sitting right here. They're on these calls, they're in the library. You can literally, after this call, over the next few weeks, go in, pull out the next big one, noticing a theme here, right? What's the next big lever that you can pull between now and year end? Do not let your brain do that. Like, oh, we're just going to finish out the year and we'll start fresh in January. It loves to tell you that. And then it'll tell you you're going to set a bunch of big goals, which on your own, you're going to forget by February 13th, according to the data. Right? Your job is to insert yourself in that system so it doesn't have those breakdowns. So, yes, Bridget, 2025 starts today. I love it. That's a great way to look at it. 2025 starts now. What are you going to do in the next 30 days to fully prime the pump, right, for that flywheel to really be moving when you hit January? What's the big thing you want to work on? What are the next steps you can be taking? Block that time in your calendar. Get it done. Isaiah, that's a great story. If you guys have any questions for Jim, Isaiah, or Leland, feel free to jump in. I know we've been chatting and getting all those high fives and inspirations. It's what would you say, Isaiah, just in terms of kind of the growth relative to the time, what were the one or two things that you think most kind of created that flywheel so that growth and time were basically no longer connect, like they were decoupled, right? It used to be time created growth, and you kind of broke that formula.
I think it was actually more the mindset piece of knowing, well, what do I want this to look like? And what do I want my life to look like? Because I mean, here in Southern California, right? So when you go to a lot of these things, they're all we're billion-dollar firms, and nothing wrong with that. But that's what you're surrounded by. And for me, it wasn't that. So it was, you know what? I don't want that. I just want to practice that, I can get to a specific dollar amount, sure, and my wife can stay home and do that. That right there just freed me from the stress of I need to grow by this specific dollar. I need to get here because that's going to get me to this point. It was, you know what? I'm just going to focus. I need 5 to 7 clients. That's all I do. And so, how can I get 5 to 7 clients? And it's through this company. Great. What I need to do, I'm going to start making some templates so I can share with them to educate them about their retirement plans.
Well, right, that we say all the time, if you can standardize it and systematize it, you can scale it. And by scale, to Isaiah's point, it doesn't mean you have to go out and build a billion-dollar firm. It means you can click a button and touch 100 people with a piece of content or a value add or an email or a Loom video, right? And they see what we're shooting for is that I see you, I hear you, I understand you. And you'll notice that all of today's success stories went through very sim, right? The same kinds of lessons and conversations that we have. The distinction is that as they executed each of those changes, it just compounded and compounded and compounded until that became the momentum over the old way. And that's that shift we talk about in terms of, I think, to your point around mindset, Isaiah, it's really like learning to lean in and know if anyone
Totally.
skis, right? If you get wobbly and you sit back on your skis, bad juju, right? It's like the worst thing. You're supposed to write, do the exact opposite. And so we talk about all the time, right? Turning into the skid, doing the thing that is the most uncomfortable, which is making time and making changes. Those are the two things that our brains are really hardwired to keep us from doing, making time to make changes. Jim had a question, how you documented the templates and processes. Did you do that manually? Did you use systems, tech stack?
We use a combination. So actually in between Join Limitless, we changed our CRM. So we had act to Swift pages before, which just felt like I was in 1990.
I
And so
remember ACT. It is from
it was
1990.
basically, it
Literally.
was
That's
Word
a
documents. It was basically
yeah.
Word documents, copy paste, put it in there. So it was still some time, but at least I had some a PDF or a Word doc, so I had it there so I can copy paste it. Now with we use WealthBox, so it's now it's just pre-populated in there. So emails, templates, that kind of thing. We have it built in, and so now it's if I need to send an email, click, changes the name, maybe change a thing, boom, done. So it's that.
Yeah, and I know Adam, like Adam has right automated everything via Redtail and workflows, which is awesome. But keep in mind, as all things at Limitless, think of like layers, right? That first layer is to standardize and systematize. That could literally be some automated emails in your CRM and or text expander. If you don't have text expander, you should all go out and get it immediately. I can literally write like hashtag S and my whole signature block pops up, or an email, or really anything that you want. So literally just documenting forms, worksheets, emails, scripts, like right, take the
It's
process in your head and just put it on paper all by itself. Massive. If you then go to CRM and text expander, next level, and right, Isaiah and Brian. We're doing great without getting to 90 workflows. And then, yes, absolutely. I am a huge fan of write as much as you can, moving into automated workflows once you've kind of got that, because now, right, it will tell you plus 3 days or minus 3 days or assign it. Whereas in the CRM, you're kind of doing that more manually, but it's the process that will save you.
I would say too, just before you start that, because it gets really overwhelming trying to build all those workflows. But just write down what you're doing on a daily basis for like 2 weeks. What am I doing? Emails, templates, sending new pro, whatever you're doing, just write it down and see what you're doing first, and then build templates from there.
For sure. And there's lots of examples in the library. So for the most part, there you've got a good starting point on a lot of things as well. Isaiah, that's great. Yeah. So if I think about your growth rate, and obviously not your immediate goal, but right, if you think about what could Isaiah's growth rate be if he chose to turn it up? Because he eliminated everything that does not elevate the practice, support the practice, grow the practice, right? If it is not clearly additive, above the line for the practice, it has to go. I know, right? When my son was born, right? You've all heard the story, right? It was like, I have a preemie. I have to be home at 5:30. Suddenly, I was like, oh, I can't send an email all day. What am I doing? Like, it was a forcing mechanism for me to be like, oh, I can't do that. Can't do that. Definitely, definitely can't do that. For most of us, like we don't have that forcing mechanism. But if I said you have to leave at this time every day, or your hands will get cut off, or your children will be taken, or you'll lose your net worth, you would find a way or make one. You would. And so that's the difference is, right? What's that compelling motivation that's going to get you over those white knuckle moments when your knees are knocking, which they should be at least some of the time? Because if they're not knocking, you're not stepping it up. And that's okay if you're where you want to be, but you're all here because you're here for that step up. So I just love this idea that if you got really clear on what was additive and you cut out everything else. That's what Ben Brandt did. He called me up and he said, if you can make 7 figures a year working 25 hours a beach from the beach in Costa Rica, surely I can do it from my office in what is it, Minnesota, North Dakota, right up in the frozen tundra. And I was like, sure, why not? Literally, he was like, all right, 1 year from now, and then boom, he's like half time off. He's got a service advisor now, managing most of the clients. But it was that moment of decision. And that's why I literally chose Chief Possibility Officer as my title. Everyone can executive officer. It doesn't even mean anything. Right? Chief Possibility is it's always my job to sit in the space and remind you, nudge you, tap you, disrupt you to be like, hey, don't forget what's possible for you. Hey, don't forget that your next level is waiting for you. Hey, don't forget to be really clear about what's standing in your way, because it's not real, right? It's just stuff that you need to get clear on so you can step over it and take that uncomfortable step. That's what Limitless is about. The difference is we want to be there, of course, with the coaching, the content, the community to support you through that. The one thing we cannot do, and I promise you we're up in the game next year to get as far as we can, is I cannot come to your office and do the work for you. I did not come to Isaiah's office and stand over his shoulder and say, do the work. His commitment to his big why did that for me. So if you have not made the changes that you hoped or wanted to this year, we're all in on helping you, but you've got to get really clear on what the why is, because it is the only thing that will get you over the what ifs and the white knuckle moments. You've got to want it more than you want anything else. And Isaiah, you said something that I thought was really good when you started. So I'll end here, which was you said something along the lines of every time I say yes to one of these things, I'm saying yes to staying in the office when I don't want to be here. Every time that you say yes to a compromise, you are saying yes to the status quo, and you are very clearly saying no to the goals that you set out. Those goals, that's why setting them out, Adam's got a post-it and like his one-page plan on a piece of paper. It does not need to be a 92-page business plan. It can literally be a post-it. It has to be something where you decide what matters and why that you look at regularly, because that is the most important thing to reorient your brain to the new outcomes that you want to create. The second thing is you have to put time in your calendar. Adam's success did not fall in his lap. He listened, he waited, he shared, he put himself out there, he turned the flywheel, he turned the flywheel, he turned the flywheel. Consistency compounds 2x, 3x, 4x, 5. Like now, Adam just gets to decide what he wants, how big. Literally, he sits in the seat of how big do I want to be? How fast do I want to grow? How much risk do I want to take? Doesn't mean it's not scary or there aren't moments, but it's radically different than it was 6 years ago, where it was like, I don't know, can I? Should I? Do I have permission? That is the shift that I hope more than anything you got out of this year was that you understand that being above the line in that mindset is about being clear and conscious and confident in the choices that you make. It's about being empowered, which will solve for everything else. You will always find a way or make one. If you're not, the most important question you can ask yourself is, why not? So Michael and I were on a call for leaders. He's doing leaders with us. He'll do lifestyle next year as well, but he's super deep in leaders with us. We're on leaders and we asked everyone. So I'm going to ask you all, I'm channeling Michael for a moment. Everyone put in, we've talked a lot about levers you can pull. What's the one big lever that you know you need to pull that you're like, I need to solve for this? Even if you don't know how you're going to solve for it, drop it in the chat right now. Julie, Jed. Mark, chat drop. Give everyone a second to do that. Marketing, marketing, email, comp, ideal week, reducing hours, more marketing, branding, rebranding, ideal client. So drop those in. So everyone drops in, and then Michael literally looks at the screen and he goes, you've all done hard stuff before, yes? Yes. Why haven't you done that thing in the chat? You already know it's a problem. And I was like, he just pulled a Steph right there. He was like, why haven't you done it yet? And everyone was like, I don't know. Why haven't I done it yet? And I'm like, that's kind of the point of the conversation. So reflect on this year. We are absolutely taking steps to step up that scaffolding and that support structure that we give you, but you should also not use that as an excuse. Isaiah, Adam, Jim, Leland, and countless others are an example that if you show up and put in some time and effort, even if you're airballing it the best that you can, good things are going to happen. That dial is going to start to move. And if you keep it up, it's going to move more and more. If it's not moving, if the flywheel isn't going at the way or the pace that you want, the number one question you can ask yourself is, what are you letting hold you back? And then my new favorite coaching question, I can't remember, maybe Adam remembers, it's from a Tim Ferriss podcast, some great coach whose name I do not recall. Fabulous
Jerry
question.
Colonna.
Who was it?
Jerry Colonna.
Jerry
How have
Colon.
I, yeah,
Great,
how have
great.
I,
Go ahead. You can ask it now.
go ahead.
Go.
It's one of those quotes that like you remember, like I remember multiple different places on the Monon Trail here in Indianapolis when I first listened to Stephanie's conversation with Michael on itkitsis.com/24, which if you haven't listened to that, please go do it. It's if for no other reason, it's a great trip down memory lane of reconciling what Steph was talking about in what at that time, early 2017. And where things are right now. Spoiler alert, it's the same shit. It still works. So this other quote from Jerry Colonna, who coached a lot of high profile athletes and Olympic athletes. He was responsible for working with Dan Jansen and helping him mentally get over breaking 35 seconds for the 1500. So he had Dan write 34.99 on a journal every single day and write why he was going to break 1500. But the quote is, how have I become complicit in creating the conditions I say I don't want? Which is a really powerful self-reflective exercise to go through as you're taking inventory. I chatted about this earlier. Tomorrow, I'm leaving for Charleston and gathering my entire team. We're all getting together in Charleston to plan 2025. So we all have our calendars. We're all writing those things down. We're all spending our personal time off first and using our time off as a forcing mechanism to essentially see what's left of the year and how much work we want to actually do, or to figure out how much time of the year is left to fit in the goals that we have for the business and reconcile that against the goals that we say we want the business to do. But the part of that inventory is going back over our calendars. That's why I mentioned using Clockify, right? What gets measured gets managed and gets managed gets improved, is inventorying what you are spending your time doing right now and how are those activities being contributory to the conditions that you say you don't want in your life, and then determining, okay, how am I going to 3D this? How am I going to either dump it, defer it, or delegate it?
Yeah, my variation on that is I wrote it down in the, you guys can write that down. It's a great quote. My variation on that is, how are you complicit in the situation you are now complaining to me about? Because as a coach,
Nice.
I get a lot of, well, my clients this, and then I'm like, well, how are you? And they're like, oh, well, I guess I, who prospected those clients? You did. Who said yes to them? Who did? Who's in charge of the fee? You are. I'm starting to see a problem here, and I don't think it's the clients. Right. I say this with all love and respect. I genuinely hope you get it. You guys are the common denominator in your situation, positive or negative. And it's usually a mix of both. We just have a lot of the distraction and the waste and the squishiness around the edges. And what you've hopefully heard, Adam, over the last few years, Jim, right, Leland, Isaiah, what you're hearing is clarity. I know what I want and why. Focus. I know what I need to work on or what I've chosen to work on next. Like, okay, I'm going to airball it and see if it turns out okay. It usually turns out okay. Right. And then I need to get to work. What's my system for actually aligning my wishes with my actions? We like to call that your calendar, your schedule. Like, that time thing truly matters. Adam still works on his time. Michael, in our coaching calls, do you know what we still talk about a lot? Time, always a conversation. Well, hey, as you change, as your practice changed, how you use your times, the kind of meetings you have, like that is, you're never going to be done. I'm never like, this is it. Like, I'm literally sitting down with my new AE, like, here's the schedule next year. Let's talk about what we want to change, what really worked, right? Blah. So it is about creating the clarity, the transparency, right? Whether it's your post-it, writing your goal in your journal, how do you keep yourself really locked on? And then how do you keep yourself consistently working at it? The number one thing you can do, right? Success shifters, time on your calendar, is make sure that you're accountable to doing the things that you say you want to do. They're going to move the needle in your practice. So it's not doing too much, right? Getting really clear on what's going to move the needle, getting focused on the one or two things you could be working on, and then making sure you've got time on your calendar to execute on those each quarter, you're going to see that needle move. And over the course of a year, you would be amazed how much progress you can make. Over the course of two or three, you can build a $1 million practice and a life that you truly love, which you may have guessed is for me kind of the big win. Making money is great. I'm not going to discount that. The more you have of it, the less you seem to value. I mean, yes, obviously we all like making more money, but what you learn here, I hope, is that there's a difference. What you heard Adam explain was that he sits down and puts his life in his calendar. And then with the time that is left, he decides how to hit his goals, the same as I do, and Michael, and many of you at this point. We do not go working and then see what's left at the end of the year. Because if you do it that way, there won't be near as much left as you want. It is about making a commitment to the practice and life you want to create and then applying that. So your calendar is that commitment. Your calendar turns those wishes from your vision into a reality that you can actually execute. So again, mindset, vision, and time are those core lessons that are going to radically shift the game because they create headspace and calendar space to implement the changes that you need to make. If you've got headspace and calendar and time, you can do anything. If you don't have the right headspace and you don't have the ability to create time and focus it, you're going to work really hard and not see much change at all. Leland, Jem, Isaiah, thank you so much for sharing your success stories. It really is fantastic to see the changes that you've all gone through. Adam, this is Adam's final year as an advisor coach. After 5 years, he's going to go keep growing his practice and he'll be back to visit. Brian Voss and Jed Levine are next year's practice coaches. They have very much followed in our and Adam and the team's footsteps. They now have those million-dollar practices, ample free time, low stress. Like they really do have the ability to walk up to the wall, pull the lever, and decide what they want to do next in their practice. And that is certainly the empowerment that we hope all of you leave this year with. If you're joining us again next year, very much looking forward to it and the changes. Get ready to turn it up a few notches. If you're not, still time to change your mind. Two, if you're not going to do that for whatever reason, with all love, genuinely hope it's been a great experience for you. Please give us your feedback. I know that you are always a member of the tribe. I think we have office hours on the 9th, so Adam and I will be there to answer any final questions and say our goodbyes for the year. But other than that, we will see you in 2025.
I need an export of this chat. This needs to go in my wins notebook. I appreciate you all. Thank you so much for the
That
kind
is awesome.
feedback.
Yeah, let me get a screenshot because
That's okay. I already did it.
all right, did you get it? All right.
It's
Isn't that
good.
cool? He's gonna
Thank
come for
you.
his picks. He's gonna be like, I need a
You
pick.
had
I
me at
got you.
Park City Ski Day. So,
Yeah. Yes,
the
you are forever grandfathered into team events for sure. All right, everyone. Happy Monday. Remember, your mission is to start 2025 today. Starting today, I'm going to spend the next 30 days doing what? So that in 30 days, you can look 2025 square in the eyes and say, I told you so. Let's do this. All right, you guys have a great day. I will talk to you soon.